You know, most of us are about to depart to many different corners of the earth. And, you know, maybe we have, I think we have some visitors from other parts of the nation and perhaps even other parts of the earth here in the audience. And we've been blessed to know the truth concerning the Feast of Tabernacles and what it represents. And so we do as the Christ and the apostles do. You know, we claim to be Christians because we do as the holy days, which are commanded in God's word, and we observe the Feast of Tabernacles. And the holy days represents a plan that has been set in motion for several thousand years. And the plan ultimately leads to the return of Jesus Christ and a new kingdom of God that will be set above all kingdoms of this earth. And so God's people will go where God has placed his name, various locations, South America, Africa, England, France, Alaska, many other sites in North America, Australia, Canada, other areas in Africa. I think just with the United Church of God alone, there's 65 sites, that God's people will be attending at. And before we leave for the feast, I would like to share with you a perspective to consider. What will happen on the face of this earth to lead up to the kingdom of God? What events prior to this time will happen? And what will lead to peace and joy, the peace and joy that God talks about in the Bible? So today I would like to talk about and discuss an overview of what is prophesied to happen prior to the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, prior to a time of peace. Because we know that we're not in a time of peace today. You know, the world as we know it is changing very quickly. Business environment, you know, our community, the way people look at things. And we know that things will get much worse before it gets better, unfortunately. But it's wise to understand what the Bible says concerning this world and what will unfold prior to Christ's return. I was talking to my boys last night about this subject because I was preparing for it. And, you know, one could contemplate, what if somebody gave you a time machine? And this time machine could see into the future and tell you facts that you know that are going to happen and it's going to impact you and everybody you know. And you think about it, what would you do with that information? Would you change the course of your life? Would you change what you're going to do? Well, that's exactly what God has given us in his prophecies. He's told us what will happen in the future. That's pretty amazing. You know, another thing that is interesting during the holy day seasons is oftentimes we go through trials. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but my guess is all of you had at least one trial, and probably a big one, maybe a little one, before the feast. And likewise, there will be a trial of significant magnitude that this world will go through before the feast, before the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And so we know today the state of affairs of the world is not good. And even though we're in a time of relative peace, we know that the Bible tells us that a war is coming, a war amongst nations. And mankind has had their chance. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about God sentencing mankind to 6,000 years here on earth, in a world ruled by Satan the devil, and that is their sentence that we're all serving unless you choose God's way of life and are baptized and turn from the ways of this world. But mankind wants to do it their way. They want to define their religion and how they should worship God and what politics should look like and what religion should look like. In addition to the wars mentioned in the Bible between countries, there is one final war that's mentioned in Revelation 16, verse 14. And this is an ultimate war, the last war, at least for some time. And this war will include every kingdom and every nation on this earth. And there will be a perception of unity at this point. People will think peace will be coming. People will think they're making a difference in the furthering of mankind's agenda. But they will be mistakenly wrong. This purpose is going to be demonic and in direct opposition to God. And so the final Armageddon is prophesied to take place where all of mankind will fight the very being that sacrificed to save their very lives. It's hard to fathom that, but that's where this world is going. In today's world, we're concerned with China, you know, who clearly wants to be the world's next superpower. They've stolen supposedly 80% plus of our secrets. They oppose democratic values, yet they're our closest trading partner. North Korea, continually on the news. You see the battles between Donald Trump and the president and the ruler of North Korea. And, you know, we're rumored to go to war at some times, and at other times we're rumored to have peace. So we don't really know what is going to happen to North Korea, but it's something mankind worries about right now. Russia obviously has been seen as a global threat for many, many years. You know, Russia has been a threat to our allies as well. And relations have been fluid, very fluid, over the past 50 to 80 years. And so Russia is exercising their muscles. You know, you see in the news, I think it was this week, they just had the world's largest war games with China, because China is one of Russia's allies, a key military partner. And meanwhile, we all know about nuclear threat. It's always been here since, you know, the 40s, 50s, and it's real. It continues to be a part of the days of our lives that we live. And some people, like Iran and North Korea, wish to obtain this power. You know, if you see what just a small thermonuclear detonation could do in a nation like America, it would be catastrophic. And so if one were to obtain this immense power and misuse it, we could see war, much like the Bible talks about between nations. So the reality is, if the conditions were right, tomorrow, all of us could be destroyed. All the species, the human species as we know it, could be destroyed. We've talked a lot about that in the past. And we know that turmoil will increase. We're going to talk a lot about that today. But according to the Bible, you know, what we're seeing going on in this world isn't really what most people would think is going to happen. You know, all these countries will have a role in prophecy, that is for sure. But what is prophesied is not a basic war that people tend to think of. The war is a spiritual war, not a physical war. That's going to happen. The physical is going to happen. But what we're talking about really in the Bible is a spiritual war that started a long, long time ago. And it's starting to poke its head up again as a key aspect of world events. I'd like to draw your attention to the book of Daniel. We can see specifically prophecy mentioned that leads to our current time in history. Daniel 9 through 11 records a chronological prophecy that is given to Daniel. And here an angel named Gabriel gives Daniel this vision of what would occur in the latter days. And the prophecy that is written is the most detailed of all the Bible, because Scripture tells us that the prophecy was given in the third year of Cyrus. We know that this particular prophecy passage was given a little bit more than 500 years before the birth of Christ. But amazingly, the prophecy provides detail of what will happen prior to Christ's second return, not just his first. And so this level of detail, hundreds of years in advance, can only be credited to God. You know, as you will see shortly, some of these prophecies have already been fulfilled, and many are in the process of maturing into fulfillment in these latter days. And so God gave us a vision into the future, much like a time machine, as to what kingdoms would rise and fall and lead to an ultimate demonic kingdom. We can find a direct correlation between the prophecy of Daniel and the prophecy mentioned in Revelation. Daniel, the second chapter, documents a four-part image that has represented four phases of kingdoms that came from one kingdom. Talked a little bit about that. I don't know if you heard my message on Babylon, and this is the second piece of that. It talked a little bit about what that Babylonian Empire is. But we can see that the image of gold is represented by King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was the king of Babylon. And it was prophesied that that kingdom would be resurrected time and again throughout history. And likewise, Daniel, the seventh chapter, prophesies four beasts that will emerge. And the chapter then clarifies that the beasts are kingdoms that will arise. And so the fourth beast was troubling to Daniel. You know, he heard about the third beast, and then he hears about this fourth beast, because it was unlike any other beast that he had ever seen or anyone has ever seen. And this beast is mentioned in Revelation 13. It's also mentioned as a scarlet beast in Revelation 17. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But all of these prophecies, which we will discuss further, are in complete alignment with each other and will play a role in end time events. So we know that there are four beasts. We also know the three beasts have died, and one still lives. The biblical fulfillment is one of many proofs that we're in the end times. These beasts are visually represented as a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a beast unlike anyone has ever seen. When we look at history, we can find a sequence of kingdoms that align directly to prophecy. And not only does the United Church of God believe this, also theologians as well as historians believe that these passages are tied directly to the historical events that I'll share with you here. So the first kingdom that I mentioned initially was that of King Nebuchadnezzar, and that was known as the Chaldean and the Neo-Babylonian Empire. This empire stood from 625 to 539 BC. And this is the first beast that was mentioned as a lion, and it's mentioned by Daniel and in Revelation. And as the Bible prophesied, Babylon fell. It's a ruin today in the modern country of Iraq. And this kingdom and its beliefs, its customs, its religious practices spread across the world. You know the story of the Tower of Babel and how mankind was spread across the earth, and they took their practices with them. And that spreading of Babylon would later propagate a future kingdom. And this is why, even though Babylon was physically destroyed, it is a golden, it is a long-lasting kingdom that in the end will be destroyed, but is not yet destroyed. The second kingdom was known as the Medo-Persian Empire, and that stood from 538 to 330 BC. And so this was the chest and the arms of silver, and it's also known as the second beast, which is signified by a bear. The third kingdom was that of the Greco-Macedonian Empire, you know, the Greek Empire. Stood from 359 to 168 BC. And this was the belly and the thighs, which was the third beast, symbolized as a leopard. And we can see in Daniel 11, verse 3, is mentioning the rise of Alexander the Great. You know, according to Expositor's commentary, it states that verse 4 plainly suggests that this conqueror would have a brief reign. In 7 to 8 years, he accomplished the most dazzling military conquest in human history. You know the story of Alexander the Great. But he only lived 4 more years and died of a fever in 323. Alexander's kingdom was divided among 4 smaller and weaker empires. Alexander's infant son had been murdered in 310 and his illegitimate brother assassinated in 317, and therefore there were no descendants or blood relatives to succeed Alexander himself. So his kingdom was not divided among his posterity. And so this is why you see the leopard shown as having 4 heads. It was divided into 4 smaller kingdoms. And these 3 segments of the image and the beast have been fulfilled. We know that these things have happened. If you're interested in further detail on this, because I'm giving you a very high-level overview, definitely suggest you look at the book of Revelation Unveiled. You can understand the Bible prophecy, and obviously Britain and America and Bible prophecy UCG booklets. So this brings us to the fourth beast. This beast is unlike any other beast. And this kingdom is, as we know it, the Roman Empire. And the empire initially started in 331 BC to 476 AD. And so the imagery of this kingdom indicates it will exist until the very end of this world. There's been attempted resurrections of this empire since Rome fell in 476 AD. And so there was the Justinian's empire, imperial restoration. There is Charlemagne. There was the Holy Roman Empire, Otto the First, the great emperor Charles V, on whose empire the sun never set, Napoleon, the rival of Charlemagne and Alexander, and as well as the most recent German and Italian dreams with Mussolini and Hitler. According to a UCG article entitled Roman Reviles of a United Europe, it says this: declaring the reappearance of the Roman Empire, Mussolini formed an alliance with Hitler, bringing about the Rome-Berlin Axis. And Adolf Hitler proudly proclaimed Germany's Third Reich, envisioning a new German empire that would rival the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation established by Otto the Great. The sixth and the seventh imperial revivals foretold in Revelation 17 was underway. Thankfully, we know the story of what happened to Mussolini and Hitler, and they were squashed and defeated for a time, but not forever. And so we know this fourth beast, this portion, is the empire of two legs, of iron and feet of clay, and part iron and part clay. And so this is known as the fourth beast, with 10 horns, meaning 10 kingdoms. And this beast still lives. There will be the seventh and last time it will rise again. And we're waiting for that to happen. The Bible indicates that it will rise again out of the sea in end time events. The Bible tells us that this final revival of the Roman Empire will be unlike anyone has ever seen. This revival will claim to resolve all the world's problems. It will create a new and secure future for all of humanity. Many will be tempted to come towards this kingdom and be a part of it. The book of Revelation calls this the beast power. Both Daniel and Revelation mentions this beast as a great political power that would devour the whole earth and all peoples. And they're going to fight and deceive God's people. They're going to go after God's people. Coupled with this beast, we also see the mention of another component to this political power, which is the harlot. This mention of the harlot is, of course, a false church. When the Bible often talks about a woman, it is talking about a church. And this false church is intertwined with the great political power that rules over the whole earth. If you look at Revelation 17, verse 5, John, when he was on Patmos, wrote this text that he was inspired to write from Jesus Christ. In Revelation 17, verse 5, it says, "And on her forehead was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." And it says, "I saw the woman drunk with blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." So we see that this harlot joins with this political power, and it's none other than Babylon the Great. It's none other than the resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And John, a devout man, a loving and good man, saw this, and he was amazed of what he saw in a vision. It makes you wonder, how amazed will we be when you see the power and the might and what this being can do? So the harlot and this beast will not only make war with the Lamb, but also God's people and God's descendants of Israel. And they will be of one mind, they will have one purpose, and they will have unity to destroy anything that falls in the path of their demonic principles and beliefs. And they will actually provide a counterfeit of Jesus Christ, which we'll talk about shortly. And this power will be so great, even the God's elect can be tempted. Jesus Christ said that. He warned us of that. So I wanted to provide this brief background of Daniel, Revelation, the beast power, because it's very much relevant to what happens next. We can see that the Bible is very clear of what happens prior to the day of the Lord. The Bible mentions seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven last plagues. It is likely that the beast power and the harlot will enter during the timeline of the seven seals. And the first four seals are known also as the fourth horseman. And these horsemen are riding now. They've actually been riding for a long time. And we know that these seals become more in effect as time will get worse, as the times we live in will get worse. So in Revelation 6, verse 1, also in Matthew 24, verse 4, we see the first seal mentioned, the first seal that Jesus Christ discussed, which is religious deception. This is also known as the white horseman. And this horseman is a likeness of Jesus Christ. You know, he comes with a crown on his head, he has a bow, and he's on a white horse. There's only one other person in the Bible that has a white horse, and that's Jesus Christ. So many will be fooled by this, but this man will not be there to help to bring in God's word and God's message and his gospel. This religious deception, as we know, is already in the works. There are over 10,000 religions out there. I would guess thousands in the mainstream Christianity space. And so this deception will play a large role in the acceptance of the beast power. You know, what if a political power could give you everything you're looking for, religiously, economically, socially? It's perfect. But don't be fooled by that, Christ says. You know, the fifth horseman is Jesus Christ. The first one is the beast power, the one that will fool the world once more. Then there's the second seal. And the second seal is, second seal is that of war in Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4. And so this is known as the red horseman. And so mankind will fight against itself, which we've been seeing happen over the course of hundreds of years. But mankind here will inflict carnage against itself. And again, this horseman has been riding for some time and will be continue to increase. The third seal is famine. A natural result of war, as we can see in history, is famine. And this is known as the black horse. And so we know that food sources will be depleted. And because of war, mankind will not have the security of food supply that we have today. And you know what happens when people don't have food? Chaos. Absolute chaos will happen on this earth. The fourth seal is disease. There will be an epidemic of some kind. So following war and famine, historically as well, has come disease. And this is known as the pale horse. And plagues will come because of the condition of mankind. And the Bible says 25% of the world will be killed at this point. Looking at the most recent figures as to the population of the earth, right now we're at 7.5 billion people. And so that would be 1.85 billion people killed just at the fourth horseman step of the seal. Very significant. But Jesus Christ says that these four horsemen are the beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning. Christ mentioned these prior to Revelation in Matthew, and then again here in Revelation with John. But these are the birth pangs. These are just the beginning. And so now we can move to the fifth seal. And the fifth seal is tribulation. God's people call this the Great Tribulation. And there will be persecution of God's people. Some will be placed into captivity. Unfortunately, some will be killed. Bible prophecy indicates that this time of tribulation will take place over the course of 3.5 years. And then there's the sixth seal, which is heavenly signs. So the sun, the moon, and stars will no longer be seen as they are today. At this point, all of mankind will realize that the world will never be the same. A great change is coming, and there is nothing they can do to stop it. The interesting thing about these six seals is these are not caused by God. These are allowed by God. These seals are a direct result of mankind's actions. It's interesting when you think of it that way. These are self-inflicted for all of mankind. And why? Why is it self-inflicted? Because they continue to disobey God. And this is necessary to humble the peoples of the planet Earth and remove a demonic influence from power. And so after these six seals, now we see the seventh seal occur. And this seventh seal is the seven trumpets and the seven plagues. And this now begins where God begins to get involved. The first trumpet is destruction of vegetation, shown in Revelation 8, verse 7. So a third of all the trees and 100% of all the grass will be burned on the face of this planet. Second trumpet, devastation of oceans and sea life. A third of all creatures in the ocean, as well as ships in the ocean, will be destroyed. The third trumpet, devastation of rivers and fresh water. So a third of rivers and springs will be destroyed. And the Bible mentions wormwood. It could be radioactive or poisonous, whatever it is. It's something that mankind can't drink. The fourth trumpet, sun, moon, and stars are darkened. So now the sun, moon, and stars don't shine. And the day and night don't shine, even more so than the prior seals. The fifth trumpet, torturous human afflictions. The Bible indicates that smoke will cover the earth, and man will be tormented for 5 months. The Bible mentions this torment as scorpion stings, where it doesn't kill you, but it's extremely horrible to go through. Sixth trumpet, enormous military destruction. And so here, angels or demons are allowed to kill another third of all of mankind, those who do not have the mark of God on their foreheads, those who are not sealed in the book of life. So after this seventh trumpet, after this, these six trumpets, the seventh trumpet will sound. This is a trumpet we really talk about and are appreciative for. This is the trumpet that we earnestly look for to being blown and that we observed in the Feast of Trumpets. But from here, Jesus Christ and the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will be seen in the clouds at this point in this process. And we know God's people, dead and alive, at that point will be risen and raised up to meet him in the clouds. As this occurs, you can also see that seven plagues are released over the earth. So the wrath of God is not yet done. The seven last plagues shown in Revelation 16. There will be sores on beast worshippers. You know, those with the mark of the beast will have sores all over their body. The oceans will become blood. This is the second plague. So every creature now at this point, a third was initially killed. Now every creature will be killed in the ocean and will die. The third plague, rivers and fresh water become blood. The fourth plague, the sun scorches the earth. So somehow God allows the earth, the sun to magnify itself on the earth and hurt mankind with such great heat. The fifth plague is thick darkness in the beast kingdom. And so, you know, you see a stage where it's partially dark, fully dark. Now it's going to be pitch dark. There will be no light across the earth at this time. The sixth plague, the Euphrates River dries up. And the Bible indicates that this will make way for the king of the east to come to the west. And now you will see a war, a final war about to occur. And the seventh plague is massive final destruction. The Bible indicates that the earth will be shaken unlike it has ever been shaken. There will be hailstones the size of a talent that will fall on mankind. Mountains will be leveled. It says that the islands will be moved from their place. We've never seen anything like that on the face of this earth, of anybody who's ever lived. And after all of that, you know, you would think people would start thinking, maybe God's a part of this and I should turn to God. But those who are still alive do not repent. The Bible says they don't repent. And they decide that they will fight instead of repent. They're going to fight against Jesus Christ and God's people. And this is where the Bible says Jesus will prevail and will stand on the Mount of Olives. Thankfully, we know that Babylon the Great, that started a lot of this, will no longer exist. The Bible says a stone cut out with hands will be the last step to destroy the Babylonian Empire, the Babylonian kingdoms that ruled on this earth. And so it says the Babylon will be defeated. It also says that the beast power and the harlot will forever be defeated. That's in Revelation 18, verse 1. And mankind will begin to see what deception they've been placed under. Because Satan will then be bound in darkness and chains for 1,000 years. That's why, part of why we observe the Day of Atonement, to become one with God, but also Satan will be bound by that time. And we're looking forward to that time. So there will be trials before the kingdom of God is established. And because of God's plan of salvation, humanity will ultimately be saved throughout all of this. Yes, people will be killed, but people ultimately will be saved. And those who have died and not known God will have another chance. And for those who have died in the faith and were there at Christ's return, they will have eternal life. They'll have the chance to restore the kingdom of God as God wants it to be restored on earth. And then we will have no more turmoil, you know, no more war. We'll have true peace, true safety, and truth itself for all of mankind. And a peace mankind will never, has never known. They will now know it after this time. And we all plan to be there in God's kingdom to help guide and serve and help others grow and develop as we have tried to do in our lives. And so today we reviewed some key Bible prophecies that will lead to a world tomorrow. Sometimes we avoid these scriptures because they're intimidating, right? A lot's going to happen before Christ comes, but we're going to know it. We're going to know it when Christ is coming. Our job is to be prepared. You know, the world is not prepared for the kingdom of God. One would think, after all this is going to happen, even after the war and Armageddon, you would think you would turn to God after that, right? Wouldn't it be easier to turn to God once you realize the truth of what you've been deceived with? But our job today is to be ready for the kingdom of God, ready for the Feast of Tabernacles, ready to serve. So before we observe the Feast of Tabernacles, it's important to realize what this world will experience prior to a time of peace. It really makes us appreciate our calling and what we've been called to do and to fulfill. But obviously, God doesn't want his people to suffer. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be in God's kingdom no matter what. To conclude the discussion, we can see what Daniel foretold concerning the end in Daniel 7, verse 27. Daniel 7, verse 27, it says, "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." So after all of this, the plan of God will move to the next stage. A stage of true peace will come. A peace which we will get to observe when we go to the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll have a very small, nice little taste of what that's like. So I hope you have a wonderful feast.